Welcome to Leader Feeder. I'm Suzanne and here with Kirk. And today we're going to talk about how to become a more proactive frontline leader. So before we really jump into it, I want to remind everybody that Valentine's Day is soon. So in the in the moment of being proactive, make sure you go out and maybe get something for a significant.
Good. That's a great way to start talking about being proactive is like, here's your heads up. You've got a few days left if you haven't thought about it already. Well done. Thank you.
So say I'm a frontline leader. How can I effectively anticipate challenges if we're going down this road of, you know, becoming a proactive frontline leader?
Well, you can. No, just kidding. No one has the crystal ball, right? No one's got the crystal ball that we can just see into the future. But you're right. How can we, you know, you ask a good question, which is how can we anticipate some challenges or things that might come up? I would say one thing to think about is past performance can be often indicative of future success. Not always, but sometimes. But also past experience can be indicative of what future experiences might look like. So as a leader, if you're trying to think about what do I need to think about, what do I need to be aware of, what things might come up that if I can proactively plan would make things better.
Yeah, think so about that minor things don't turn into bigger things,
yeah.
Right?
So let's look at the past, see what's already come up that we've had to deal with or what changes come. For example, in a lot of manufacturing settings, there's sort of an ebb and flow depending on the time of year. One client that we've worked with, they make meat products, a lot of burgers and stuff. So as you can imagine, they're very, very busy leading up to and into the summer when people are grilling their barbecue or grilling their burgers, and they slow down a lot in the winter. Mm-hmm. That's a natural ebb and flow. And in that natural ebb and flow, there's going to be certain things that happen probably every spring leading into the busy season, and then summer as busy season's there, and then the fall, it dies down a little bit. So looking at the past and going, what took us by surprise last year that we wish we would have had a better handle on that I would like to proactively address this year? That's the first part. The second part is ask your team. Go to your team and say, right? Go to your team and just say, hey, you know, you folks know the rhythm of this company well. I would like to know from you folks, what could I do to be a little bit more proactive in addressing some challenges, some concerns?
Good point.
Because you can't think of everything as the leader, and you don't have to. Right. Leverage your team. Go to them and say, I want to make things easier. I want to be more proactive. What sorts of things should I be thinking about as I do that? And you're probably going to get some great ideas from your team.
Absolutely. So talking to your team is a great sort of almost technique right? And what are maybe some other practical techniques that we could use to like empower our team, encourage them to kind of take on some ownership too, to be proactive as well?
Oh, that's a great one. Yeah. So maybe the first part is asking those questions and having those conversations about, hey, I want us to be a more proactive team or department. And so, you know, let's talk about what some potential things are that tend to catch us off guard or blindside us because we don't have a more proactive approach and we have more of a reactive approach. Mm. The conversation starts there because I think that's where you can get into, okay, which parts am I as the leader of the team going to take care of and manage or obstacles am I going to remove? And which ones am I going to expect and empower my leaders to take care, or rather my employees to take care of? And I think that's where it starts is with that conversation. So enabling them to say, hey, that's a great point you're bringing up. That is something that has caught us off guard in the past. Now that we're talking about it, I want you to know that when and if it does come up, I'm empowering you to handle it. Right. I know that you can do it, and I believe that you can do it. Another piece to that is, if there is something where you go, this caught us off guard last year, we want to be more prepared this year, part of the reason it caught us off guard is maybe we didn't have sufficient training or sufficient pieces in place in order to handle that change or that thing that caught us off guard. Maybe it's saying, okay, well, if busy season starts in April, then I know that in order for you to be better prepared for this busy season, I have to provide you with some training. So, you know, it's September now per se, like obviously it's not September today, but imagining it's September and we're trying to be proactive, I'm going to make sure that you get some training before April, before busy season starts, so that you can hit the ground running in April. And that will help you feel empowered to handle some of the challenges or issues that came up last year that we weren't able to address in a more proactive way. So taking that responsibility and spreading it out over the team and providing the training, first of all, just the license to say, hey, as the leader, I empower you to take care of some of this stuff. But then also the training that might need to be in place in order for people to go, I can handle this.
talking about being proactive and empowering your team to do that, I'm starting to think about now how this could affect a leader's day-to-day, right? If they start thinking about these proactive and asking questions, and then they start empowering their teams and encouraging their teams to take ownership, all of a sudden feel like there might be a little bit of free time, and how that would affect, you know, decision making, like the frontline, me as a frontline leader, my decision making in my day-to-day leadership when my team is being empowered like that.
That's right. I mean, I would think if we spoke with, well, most of the frontline leaders I speak to would sort of laugh when we throw around the term free time, because I think they'd tell you, oh my God, free time.
Pardon me. But, I don't mean free time. Yeah, sorry. Yes, maybe poor choice of words, right? But more elevated time, I suppose, then, right?
Time that you they have... get to focus on doing what they'd want to do in a proactive way rather than reacting and putting out fires.
So really
it's
keeping...
a chance to sit down and go, since I'm not putting out fires, which is what I'm used to doing for most of my shift, what can I do instead? What gains can I make for the department? What obstacles can I help remove that have been a barrier for a long time, but I just haven't had the time to take care of for my team? So you're absolutely right that taking a more proactive approach in addressing challenges and issues in the moment, right, or trying to think ahead, it does free up time, right, to focus on higher value tasks that otherwise we end up just ignoring, putting on the back burner because we're putting out fires all the time.
Yeah. Are there like some common pitfalls to try to avoid when we talk about being proactive, like with our leadership?
Yeah, so for sure. I think one of the biggest things is that being proactive can take a lot of extra effort. And what I mean by that is if 99% of your day is spent putting out fires or being reactive, if you're trying to move to a more proactive approach, it's like suddenly deciding you want to go to the gym. Your 24 hours are already filled up with something before you decided to go to the gym, right?
Yeah.
But you join the gym, you want to get in better shape. It's going to take more effort to get into a gym routine, to get into a habit, and to get that habit to stick for the first couple months than if you just don't go to the gym, right? So for the first few months, there's got to be more effort and more energy and more time put into that. That's a lot of work, right? And in our day-to-day, people are just trying to keep up. We're just trying to stay afloat. And so to add on that extra thing can be exhausting. And I think the same thing can happen when we take a proactive approach. Mm-hmm. In the long term, it feels great. In the long term, we see benefits.
Right.
But I think in the short term, it can feel overwhelming. And so we have this small burst of energy. We become a bit more proactive. I'm going to get ahead on this thing. And then we do it for a couple of weeks. And then because we're still trying to mostly fight this reactive approach that we're still putting out fires and we haven't yet seen the empowerment take effect, it's exhausting. So at the beginning, it actually takes, I think, a lot more effort and energy, and the payoff comes a few months down the road. So I think that's where the frustration comes, or maybe where the pitfall is that if you don't see, it's like going to the gym. If you don't see results in the first month, you might be tempted to quit, right? Even though the real long-term gains are going to come 3, 6, 9, 12 months, 5 years after going to the gym. It's hard if you don't feel those gains right away to stick with it. So I would encourage frontline leaders that are trying to be more proactive, stick with it, you know, fight the good fight, stay the course, because it's so easy to feel discouraged if things aren't going exactly as you wanted them to, or you've been putting in a lot of effort to be more proactive and it doesn't feel like it's paying off. It will almost always pay off eventually. It just takes time. And it also, if I can add one more thing.
Of course.
It also takes time for your team to get used to your more proactive approach.
Right.
There are some teams that unfortunately can be quite cynical. And so when you're trying to take a more proactive approach and you tell them you're trying to be more proactive, they can kind of have the sense of, oh yeah, we've seen this before. Right. Yeah, let's try it out. And then there's a sense of kind of giving up, right? Because, oh, we've seen this happen before. Some new person comes along and tries to spark something. And then 2 months later, we're back to the way it was.
Right.
So you have to really be consistent with that proactive approach for quite a while sometimes to convert even the most cynical of team members that, hey, this is really the direction we're going to go in. We really are going to become a more proactive team overall.
Mm-hmm. That's great, because I like that we kind of took this realistic turn, because we were talking about, you know, the start of the podcast here, proactive and you know, engaging and motivating our teams. And that kind of popped into my mind, was I thought, you know, the buy-in that's going to come, you know, that you need your team to have, right? We were talking about how proactive decisions in your day-to-day leadership and things like that, but I kind of wanted to ask about what are some other effective strategies to get their buy-in, the team's buy-in?
That's interesting. And so you're asking, you know, getting their buy-in to a more proactive approach.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I think part of it's communicating it and being transparent about that. Mm-hmm. So telling them, hey, we spend a lot of time putting out fires. And I think that that makes us all a little bit exhausted. It makes us feel maybe a little bit burnt out. Mm-hmm. It causes us a lot of frustration. And I think as a team, we can be more proactive and feel better because of it. So I think explaining the why.
Right.
Which we talk about in our frontline leadership course. Right. Explain why. Tell people why you're doing something. Mm-hmm. Because if a leader changes their approach, how frustrating is it as one of their team members to be like, why are things different? What prompted the change? Are we going to find out, or is it just being done differently? So if you're the leader, explain why. Hey, I've realized that we spend a lot of our time putting out fires. I recognize that that's causing a lot of frustration. I would like us to end up with a more proactive outlook or a more proactive approach as a team. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to start thinking about how to implement that. And then we're going to start implementing it, mm-hmm. right? So being transparent about it. I also think engage the team, involve the team. So say to them, how do you think we could be more proactive? Because if we also talk about, part of it is, like we talked about earlier, part of having a more proactive team is having a more accountable team, having a yes. team that's more empowered. Eventually, you are going to need to rely on them to help with that more proactive approach. So I think early on, involving them to say, what can we do to be a more proactive team? I also think in one way that's also going to let you know who your biggest cynics are, who your biggest critics are, because you're going to get ones that go, oh, well, you can try it. But, you know, Bill tried it a couple of years ago and right. Sandy tried it a few years before that. And here we are. Or you're going to find, you know, reasons why they might think it's hard. And that's a great discovery, mm-hmm. right? Be curious, not furious. So if you have someone presenting resistance, oh, yeah, you're coming in wanting to make everything proactive. Good luck. Instead of being furious and going, well, can't you just be on board with my idea? Can't you just support it? Instead go, I noticed there's some resistance here. Can you help me understand where that's coming from? Can you help me understand why maybe you feel like that's not going to mm-hmm. move the needle on anything? Right. I would love to know what we can do to help understand why there's resistance in the first place. Mm-hmm. You won't always get really great, insightful, right. helpful answers. But by asking the question, you're showing, I think, that you care about their involvement. You care about their buy-in. And then you're going to really have a good sense of what is it going to take for this team to buy into that new approach, that new proactive approach.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Thanks, Kirk. Mm-hmm. I really do enjoy the topic of being proactive and encouraging your team. And then, yeah, we talked about some of the pitfalls. So some really great stuff today.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the podcast, for tuning in. I hope you have a great day, and we'll see you soon.